Blog Talk Radio.
Coronavirus is spreading throughout America's state and federal prison system. I spoke to one man who's serving life inside a California state prison. He asked us to withhold his name because he has a contraband cell phone. He's in one of the facilities where a worker tested positive.
So this is what social distancing looks like inside a prison. As you can see, it's in the day room with the facility that I'm at. And as you can notice, there's a number of inmates freely walking about in the day room. So all it takes is just one person in here to become infected with the coronavirus, and it's a wrap. Everybody's going to be infected.
How in the world is this system going to deal with COVID-19?
All it takes is for one person to come into this environment that's infected, and boom, you got a crisis on your hands. And my biggest concern is, it's not so much getting it from the prisoners, it's getting it from the correctional staff.
What are the correctional officers doing when they're coming in? Are they getting checked for fevers?
Well, I've been informed that they are being screened each day that they walk in. This is not one of those things where you can just simply ask if someone has symptoms and clear them to come into work into a dense populated area.
If you started feeling some of the COVID-19 symptoms, how long would it take you to see a doctor?
They have a nurse that's visiting the building every day. The problem with that is, I think for most prisoners, they would be afraid to report that because it automatically is going to result in them being isolated in the home.
In terms of the commissary, are you able to get Lysol wipes, bleach, anything to disinfect and keep your area clean?
I gotta laugh at that. Are you kidding me? The commissary don't sell nothing but junk food. In terms of disinfecting, as a matter of fact, they have a limitation on the number of soap that you can buy.
So how are you supposed to wash your hands as often as we're supposed to wash our hands with just 4 to 6 bars of soap a month?
I think you just answered the question to one of the biggest contradictions. So on paper, it looks good. When you look at what their protocols are for this, they're talking about they're passing out extra soap, that they're doing extra cleaning, that they're passing out disinfectants of this type of and sort. Yeah, that's not the reality in here.
This is what's happening right now inside the California Department of Corrections. We're sitting ducks in here.
I reached out to the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. A spokesperson says she cannot answer my questions without knowing which facility the inmate is in, but we agreed to his request to not reveal that information.
The People's Platform.
When Israel was in Egypt,
Sarah Roach, let my people go. Alabama's mandatory supervision parole is not being complied with. Let the people go, Alabama. She leaves 31 serving a sentence under Alabama's split sentencing act.
We want to hear from you on the platform tonight. Let's talk about what we can do together to get people out of
Department of Correction.
Good evening and welcome to the People's Platform. Tonight we'll be discussing COVID-19 and the ADOC.
Greetings, everyone.
The People's Platform.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to tonight's edition of the People's Platform, hosted by the Free Alabama Movement, Mothers and Families, and the Fam Queen team. I am Queen Dara of the Fam Queen team, who is dedicated to fighting for the natural rights of the incarcerated. Tonight's show is going to be pretty much a continuance of what we have been discussing with the COVID-19 situation and how it impacts the incarcerated. We have had some upcoming developments that have happened in Alabama and across the U.S. in regards to concern for the immediate release of the incarcerated as it relates to the COVID-19. You know, there has been a huge scare about how coronavirus is now seeping inside of the prison walls and county jails, and that there is a huge concern that it will rapidly multiply amongst the incarcerated due to the conditions and the overcrowdedness of the prison. One of the things that, you know, we ask on the People's Platform is if you have something that you would like to discuss as it relates to tonight's topic or have any questions or concerns, that you press 1. If you press 1, listen to the last 4 digits of your phone number. We will bring you into queue, and at that time, you can go ahead and speak your piece on what you would like to discuss. It's going to be a very tense topic, so I would like to turn it over to Rahsaan, if Rahsaan is available.
You know, four more voters died over there, Louisiana.
Nikki, I think
I don't think the
back.
Bro Rahsaan here.
Queen Dora? Yes.
I don't think brother Rahsaan is in.
Okay. That's fine. Nikki, you said we have a caller on?
Yes, 2877.
Repeat that again.
2877.
Caller 2877, we would like to welcome you to the People's Platform.
Oh, hello, everybody. This is Potential. Can y'all
Good
hear
evening,
me?
Potential. Yes, we can hear you just
okay.
Fine. You have the floor.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say that, as you all know, the staff member at Staten had tested positive. I found out this morning from an officer that she was a steward, and she came into work. She had a fever. They sent her back. She had to get tested before she could return. Had to have paperwork saying she was okay, and she tested positive. But now she has an entire shift of inmates that works really in the kitchen. When they come back, to the dorm. The officers that she came in contact with, they haven't tested anyone. In fact, just this afternoon, this evening, they are still trading guys out between Franklin, Staten, and Elmore. They brought in a guy yesterday from Staten, and then they brought in one today. He had staples and stuff in his head, and he's been back there in the infirmary, and cats have been into it with the police because no one wants him in the dorm with them. So all this stuff K.I.V. is talking about, they aren't transferring folks. That's a lie. And then as far as this stuff goes, I mean, they started dropping people in on us from state, and no one is being tested. An officer that works on the riot team, he was at Staten, working at Staten last week when they were down there. So, I mean, Alabama ain't doing nothing to prevent this shit. We still have the cleaning supplies we have, they're kept in the queue, and it's mainly for the floor and the bathroom. We don't have any personal cleaning supplies for our personal areas and to wash our hands and stuff, hygiene and stuff during the day. Other than soap in the bathroom. And I'll pass with that.
Thank you, Potential. Nikki, do we have any other callers?
Not right now?
Okay. Well, Potential, I see, you know, that this is going to, you know, this has been an ongoing problem way before the COVID-19 had even, came about. And, you know, now it's becoming an even bigger, you know, even bigger problem for those who are incarcerated because to not have the supplies that are needed in order to combat or, you know, do preventive measures to avoid, being subject to the virus puts everybody at risk, and that's including the staff. What's kind of sad about this is that, you know, there's been some feet dragging about this whole situation. Governor Kate Ivey has not been very responsive to what has been going on and what is actually starting to progress, is, you know, just like the illness is progressing across the country. What we have found out is that, you know, some Alabama law professors and former law enforcement officers have been urging Kate Ivey to take in consideration reducing the number of inmates in the Alabama prison. You know, basically just, you know, giving her a warning and let her know from personal, experience that this is going to be a bad situation if something doesn't come about quickly as far as reducing the number of inmates that are being housed within the Alabama prison. So, you know, one of the biggest things that we need to really discuss is, you know, how much pressure needs to be put on, you know, the governor, in addition to the ADOC, about early releases for the elderly, those who have compromised immune systems, and those who are, you know, totally disabled, and, you know, a fraction of other people and other groups of people that will fall under this COVID virus, you know, as they would like to consider high risk. So we would like to, you know, people to join in on this conversation because, you know, during this conversation, we can, you know, come up with some solutions. You know, we can hash this out on what we can do as a people inside and out to try to put this pressure on the governor and the ADOC about getting some of you all out of here in a timely manner.
Yeah. Queen Dora.
Yes.
Yeah, this Brother Wise. See, we need more pressure put on the governor for us, for the inside, because they do have laws in act, you know, for the release of inmates, you know, not only for those that are elderly, but you also have laws set aside for those who are currently eligible for to come out for eligible for parole, and also that have, you know, split sentences. Because you have people that have split sentences, and the most that you can get up under split sentence is 5-year max, you know, and they is up under the jurisdiction of the judges. So, you know, we have to have put more pressure on her to mandate and make the judge release some of the inmates that are eligible. And also you have the law set aside for any inmate that is sentenced 10 or years more, and they are 12 to 24 months. They are 12 to 24 months before their EOS date, and they supposed to be turned over to the parole board. So, you know, it's laws and act for her to be able to release inmates. You know, it's just all about, you know, we have to apply pressure on her. You know, she has to take up her leadership and use the executive order to push for that. You know, so we're looking at a lot of these prisons. She and Trudy prisons. We sleep 1 foot away. You know, for me being in the inside and the rack I sleep on, I see 17 people sleep from me from 1 foot away. But in the past 2 days, you know, we go to the chow hall, you want us to stand from each other 6 feet. You know, I don't understand that. You want us to stand 6 feet from each other and sitting two at a table. But we come right back in the dorm, I sleep one feet over. So, you know, a lot of this thing is dealing with the overcrowding of prison that need to be addressed for them for over 3 decades, at least 4 decades, that is nine of them blown in their faces, and she need to address it. So we need to apply more pressure. We need to apply the most pressure that we can on her to use her executive order, to use her position, to let some of these people go. We ain't talking about a few hundred. We need thousands.
And that's true.
Now let me add real quick. Excuse me. Let me add real quickly to second what Brother Wild was just speaking about. For those who happen to be on the outside, please understand what people who are on the inside are bringing to the table. It's not just griping and crying about something that is bad conditions and whatnot. No, this is a matter of life and death for those who are on the inside. When one has to sleep around 1 foot or 3 feet away from several other people, when one has to use sinks which cannot even operate without one having to hold the pot with one hand, you know, to be able to wash one hand at a time while holding the faucet to keep the water running. When you have 68 to 100 people sharing two sinks in the living area, sharing two sinks and one shower, either two showers and two toilets, when there is no concern from the medical staff, you know, when one is living under these kinds of conditions, it is not only a matter of if, but a matter of when they'll contract the virus. And that is what people who are on the inside are faced with. So it is a dire circumstance. There's a lot of anxiety on the inside. And people don't know what to do, where to turn. However, they do realize that they themselves have to do something, and they realize that with the help of those who are on the outside, you know, through the outside organizations, something can be achieved. Today, just today, Governor Kay Ivey signed into law a new law, I beg your pardon, which would free all parole violators from the county jails. This law was signed into effect at about 11, 12-ish o'clock, something around that time this afternoon. And it will release all parole violators from the county jails Now, for her to do something like that, it might seem like something very small, but we have to remember we're in Alabama. That at least is a move in the right direction, and it opens the door. It shows that she could do a whole lot more, not just for the county jails, but for those who are incarcerated in the Alabama Department of Corrections, particularly those who are not serving sentences of death. With that, I'd like to pass.
Yeah, and also to follow up on that, you know, we gotta we have to figure out a strategy that we can move on. You know, we call in, we host this show, and we ask people to call in to let us know that, you know, people are ready to take action, and we can talk about the problems, and we can even talk about the solution, but we have to take action also, you know, before we can get anything accomplished. For those of y'all who have been following our platform, y'all know we put out a statement earlier talking about some of the things that we would like to do, some of the issues that we would like to see addressed, and most importantly, some of the people that we would like to see released from the Alabama Department of Corrections in the face of this deadly virus. We know there's overcrowded. We know there's unconstitutional living conditions, and we've been working on the outline. We're working on the statement to release to the people. When we release it, we're also going to do a petition with it, and we're going to take more direct action also. But just some of the things that we're looking at right now is that we want to deal with people with medical leave. You know, we want to put more pressure on the state, more pressure on KIVA to start releasing the elderly and people who have medical conditions, not just people who are incarcerated, but people who work in the DOC also, because it's a cycle. And the virus will come in by people who work here, and that's how to get into prisons in the first place. So we want to make sure that these people are paying attention to people who are susceptible to the disease in society. Compassionate release for people with cancer treatment, dialysis, people suffering from respiratory issues, the elderly, people with immunocompromised systems, because we see all of these people every day inside the prison system, and there's no need for them to be sitting here as sitting ducks. They don't have death sentences. Many of them have been in prison for a long time. So those are people that we're going to be looking at asking for compassionate release, immediate release, whatever phrase you want to use. People who have parole revocations that have not committed new crimes that are back on nothing more than technical violations, those people should not be in prison. People with drug addiction, people who are in prison because they're unable to pay fines or child support, these type of people should not be sitting inside these prison warehouses waiting on this virus. Another group of people who is not talked about and often overlooked are juveniles. These children in these juvenile detention facilities, these facilities are just as vulnerable as the prison. And these are just some of the issues. I don't want to cover the whole list of issues right now, but I just wanted to make sure people know that we're working on a comprehensive list of everyone that we feel like, based on these circumstances, based on the criteria, not just because of COVID-19, but because of the issues as a whole that have been going on in the prison system that people have been exposed to over the last several years. We saw another person lost their life March 30th in a prison in the state of Alabama, and there's a cycle of violence. There's a culture of violence, and I think it was Beth Shelbourne. She wrote an article. She said that the prison system in Alabama is based on a crimogenic culture, and she said that's a culture that promotes crime. And so we're looking at that, and we're seeing 70 officers was arrested last year alone for different issues, trying to bring contraband into the prison system. So everyone's affected by it. And so it's a prison system that's out of control. It's a failed state institution. They're receiving over $600 million in funding, and we're not seeing any results from these $600 million. So it's not for us to sit back on our hands and make our complaints and draw our petitions and sign our signatures, but we have to become more vocal, we have to become more present, more visible, and jump out here on these front lines and get something done about these problems, because if not, people are going to sit here. People are going to be sitting here waiting on the axe to fall, and a lot of people are going to die that shouldn't die. People shouldn't be dying in prison system, because the Commissioner Jefferson Dunn has already said, as I repeated last week, in an interview with the New York Times, that these prisons were built to warehouse people. And that's the type of environment that the COVID-19 virus will be its most lethal and deadly in. So I just wanted to add that. I know we're probably going to be ready to go into a break. We want to welcome our callers. Thanks to everyone for calling in. We're going to follow back up on the other side with the employees who have tested positive. If you've already pressed it one, just please hold. And after we come back on the other side of the break, we'll bring our callers back in. If you haven't pressed one and this is your first time to the show, go ahead and press one now. And when we come back over, we'll call the last four digits of your phone number. And when we call the last four digits, you'll be in the host queue, and then you'll be able to speak. Thank you once again. This is the People Platform, Free Alabama Movement's Blog Talk Radio Show.
If there is no struggle, there is no progress. Those who profess to favor freedom and yet deprecate and put down agitation are men and women who want crops without plowing up the ground. They want rain without the thunder and lightning. They want the ocean without the awful roar of its many waters. This struggle may be a moral one, or it may be a physical one. But it must be a struggle, because power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will.
Come down from that mountain, Harry. Come down to the valley at night. Come down to your weeping people and be their guiding light. Sing, deep river. Don't you want to cross over today? Sing, deep river. Don't you want to walk on freedom's way? I stole down in the nighttime. I come back in the day. I stole back to Maryland to guide the slaves away. You better run, brave Harriet. There's ransom on your head. You better run, Miss Harriet. They want you alive or dead. I've been down in the valleys yonder and searching around the stills. They got a posse after you, riding through the hills. They got bloodhounds smelling. They got their guns cocked, too. You better run, bold Harriet. The white man's after you. They got $10,000 put on your cold black head. They'll give $10,000. They're mad because you fled. I'm Harriet Tubman, people. I'm Harriet the slave. I'm Harriet, free woman. And I'm free beyond my grave.
I come from a slave father, not grandfather, a slave father, born in eastern North Carolina in 1843, escaped from slavery in 1858, a contemporary co-fighter with Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, John Brown, Sojourner Truth, and William Lloyd Garrison for the freedom not only of the Negro people, but of millions of white workers caught in the same serfdom as their black brothers and sisters. So our brothers and sisters from Mexico, the Philippines, from the lands of Asia, from the West Indies, from Latin America, have come to these shores to share the same fate. And all through our history, the working masses, colored and white, speaking many languages, representatives of the finest of the old and new world cultures, have had to fight every step of the way for a decent wage, for decent homes, for decent education for their children, for human dignity itself.
I want us all.
Once again, we're back on the other side of the break. This is the People's Platform, Free Alabama Movement's Blog Talk Radio Show. We thank everyone once again for tuning in for another edition. Tonight, we're talking again about the COVID-19 in respect to what we are going to do to try to start applying pressure on the system to get people out. We're working on a statement that will have an outline of all of the issues, all of the people that we think that the state should be looking at, people who serve in split sentences. The maximum amount of time that you can receive on a split sentence in the state of Alabama is 5 years. And so if you get a 20-split 5, then the state has already decided that 5 years is the maximum amount of time that you're going to spend in the prison system. And so just by way of an example, those people should not be in here waiting for their fate to be decided by a deadly disease, because the COVID is killing people. We're seeing the death numbers go up every day in the state of Alabama. We saw it go up to 17. Already we saw it go up to 17. And so it's continuing to count every day. The number of people who are impacted by it in the state of Alabama is going up every day. We saw another prison increase their count this week. So we have to figure out what can we do now to start getting people out of this system. And so that's what the plan is. That's what the platform is about. And that's what we're inviting everyone to come in. To give us your ideas and input, and to let us know that you're ready to take action against COVID-19. This is the People's Platform for Alabama Movement Blog Talk Radio Show. If you want to talk, just press 1. All you have to do is press 1 on your phone. You'll call out the last 4 digits of your phone number, and you'll be brought into the host queue. Do we have any callers right now?
No, not right now.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll turn it over to who? Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, this is Modus over here at Staten. How y'all doing?
Hey, how you doing, bro? We're doing good. How you doing, bro?
We're okay. We were informed yesterday by Raul over at Staten. I mean, over at West Jefferson, that some of those guys over there were in fact infected and taken out the back gate. You know, DOC is reporting that they don't have any cases of inmates being infected by the virus. That's not true.
That's right.
There's a lot of stuff going on. There's probably more inmates infected than those over there at St. Clair that they're kind of keeping under hush or brushed up under the rug. And this information needs to be made known, if not to some of the lawmakers or somebody that can do something about it, at least to the public, so they'll know that this virus is, in fact, in the prison system already. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to keep it hush-hush.
Right. And we have platforms. This is my first time hearing about that. I haven't thought about it before. You know, that's what we create our platforms for, so that we can get our information out. So, you know, if the brothers over there, they're seeing that they're on the ground, we know it's not going to do it for us. So, you know, we have to do it ourselves. And so if you're online, you're from West Jefferson, and you can provide us some information at Donaldson Prison about what's going on inside, who the people are, you can just put some information out, and we can put it out there. And there are plenty of people who are applying pressure. They are contacting the DOC. They just put a statement out about that in the last day or so. That needs to be updated, and that needs to be exposed. And that.
Bosan, are you still on the line?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. There also is some activity going on at Draper Correctional Facility, the former Draper Correctional Facility, which was condemned and shut down in 2018.
Okay.
Currently, there are over 300 beds which have been installed in some of the dormitories over there. And there's talk about those condemned buildings being used as a quarantine post for the ADOC. Now, none of it is confirmed as far as what is going to be done with it. However, they have put in the cots. They're not the regular beds that are used in the prison facilities. These here are those cots that are used, the foldable cots.
Okay.
So it's likely that's what their plan is to quarantine people over there. However, I said, it's not confirmed that that's the case.
Yeah.
Is that they're prepared to do something with it there.
Yeah. And so they're making plans. You know, they're putting their plans in place. And so we have to make plans too. And then they're putting their plans into action. You know what I'm saying? That's the same thing that I'm saying that we're going to have to do if we're going to save some lives in these prisons. Because once it gets in here, we all know, especially those of us on the inside, we know what it's going to look like. It's going to look like hell on earth. And it's already in Donaldson. You know, we know it's in, we know it's in, it has been inside of St. Clair. They still have staff, mental health counselors who came in contact with the secretary. They still have a lot of people on quarantine. And so I heard the brother speaking earlier. He said that they had not tested anyone. And I can't recall if he said whether or not they had quarantined anyone at Staten where the steward. But it's unreasonable to think that an airborne virus that lives on surfaces and that people running in and out of the kitchen, I guess, next to the medical facility, the kitchen, is also probably the two worst places for it to come in at. And that's exactly the two places so far that we're having reports of this COVID-19 coming into the prison system. So, I mean, you know.
Not only not to cut you off, but let's also say the mail room. The personal handler of the mail at Staten allegedly has been off for a while because of, I don't know if they tested positive or if they just had a high temperature or what, but just imagine somebody handling the mail who is infected with the virus, unfortunately. And if the virus could live on surfaces for over a day and this person is handling all the mail coming to the facility, then we most definitely have it in whichever facility those people have been operating. And it seems to be the case with our state as well.
Yeah, we know something definitely has to be done. I just hope that people don't sit back and wait for people to start dying before they decide, you know, that it's time to make a call. And please don't wait until it happens to your loved one before you think it's time to do something, because, I mean, some of these people that are contacting, they don't even know that they have it. And by the time they figure it out, when we get testing done, you know, it's going to be too late. So, you know, now's the time to act, be proactive about this, you know. And the prison system, they're not going to tell us the truth. They never have. They never will. But we don't need them to tell the truth all the time. We know the truth because we see it and we live in it every day. But for whatever reason, we still have that fear of telling the truth. You know, if that's true about that situation over at Donovan Field, you know, those guys over there need to start putting that information out. Because I will say this, I did see an article came out, I think it was today or yesterday, and someone over there at Donovan, they took a picture of themselves inside their cell and showed people just how close it is inside these cells and how we can't quarantine and we can't practice social distancing and whatnot. And you got to have more of that. And now is the time, you know. Let's not wait until it gets too late, because once it starts circulating out the system, you know, it's gonna be a done dot. This is the People's Platform. We want to hear from the public. I saw a lady posting online. Her husband had limestone. He's dealing with severe bout of cancer. He's going through chemotherapy right now. And people like that do not deserve to be in these prisons facing a death sentence, because it seems like just, it does not matter to the governor and to the commissioner. They don't care what circumstance presents itself. They don't want to let anyone go. You just had another person get killed. The DOJ report is over, fixing to turn 1 year old. And just like we said from the beginning, what's the hoopla? Why should we throw a parade because another DOJ report has been done? They got report after report after report on the shelf. The DOJ has done one. EJI has done one. Southern Center for Human Rights. Everybody has a report. But, you know, those reports don't solve problems. So that means that we should be through with report after report after report. We need to start taking action right now.
Yeah, Brother Son. Yeah, we so do. We need to start taking action and applying the much pressure that we can on the DOC officials and on the governor and the lawmakers themselves, because they all act as one, you know. And I had read an article earlier where they were saying that they have the women, the sisters down there in Tutwater. They claim that they got them making masks and gloves down there. You know, I don't know how true that is, but that's what they say. So, you know, I'm trying to see how enough, you know, you said they making enough at 20, you know, they say they making 2,500 a week, you know, 2,500 a week might, what, now I got what, one count, two count, one count might use that, so, you know, once a city use that, so, you know, they'll be making that for themselves.
And they ain't even coming into the camp. All the stuff they making going out of the prison.
Yeah, you know, that one, that ain't going to be enough for the whole prison system itself. Because Tumwater Law between them and the officers, they'll use all that they make themselves.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, man. I mean, we have that in it. We're preparing to address that. We're going to be putting it together. We're going to be talking about, you know, we look on the news and we see, like, Church of the Highlands. That's one of the churches that's coming into the prison system. They've been stopped as non-essential personnel, but yet it's, when we look on the news, we see them out there leading the efforts to get testing done. I think that was the first entity that was doing testing in the state of Alabama. So these people clearly are not non-essential. They are essential. They are essential to not just the state, but the prison ministry and those type of organizations are essential to the prisons as well. And so it only makes sense for us to reach out to them and reach out to others that we're seeing on the news that are already involved, that we know are part of the prison ministry throughout the state of Alabama, and ask them people, you know, to start using their connections and their networks and their political power to put pressure on Commissioner Dunn and Governor Kay Ivey to allow them to get us some protective material in here, because I just don't see no other way. You know, if we're not going to mobilize the people and start doing protests, or people don't volunteer for those type of jobs, then what are we going to do? I mean, you know, I'm looking for answers. I'm looking for people to voice their opinions and to offer ideas and suggestions. But we got to figure out what are we going to do before this thing spin here and takes off.
Yeah, because when they get in, we know, you know, what it going to do. Because I'm looking at the storm and the bay that I sleep in, and I'm looking at half of the people, like, you know, just the age. And not only that, you know, we don't even get the proper food to be able to boost our immune system, or have our immune system, you know, healthy enough to be able to combat this virus for those who isn't sick or have no respiratory or disease or none of that nature. You know, we don't even get the proper food. You ain't feeding us the proper. You don't even sell the proper food. Only thing you sell is number a bunch of junk. So, all of us in jeopardy. All of us in jeopardy. You know, that come in contact with this. Even those who ain't. You know, is it sick or already have disease or respiratory problems? All of us in jeopardy. Those who do and don't. We ain't getting the proper supplements, but the proper minerals and vitamins to build our immune system, to keep our immune system up.
Yeah, basically we're malnourished. You know, when you look at the food that we're eating and the nutritional content inside the food, you look at the garbage they sell on the store in the snack line, you don't see no healthy items, you don't see no fruit. You very rarely get fruit inside of the kitchen. And so when you add all that up, you have a weak body that's already, you know what I'm saying, fighting against so many issues, just the normal environmental issues. You got poor air quality in prisons. You have poor, you know, water quality in prisons. You have poor, the grounds, a lot of the grounds that these prisons are on are contaminated. Being inside the environments, you got secondhand smoke. You got flock of smoke in the air every day. You got ice being smoked that's in the air every day. You got all types of different elements that's in the air that we're dealing with. You got trash inside the dorms that we're dealing with every day. And then you have the filth just from overall just so many people being in here. And now you're asking us with all of these things to try to fight COVID-19. It's just not possible. And then the prison system is overcrowded. So they have to relieve some of this overcrowding, man. And people got to get out of prison, because we simply, plain and simple, we're going to die in here. And it ain't going to be from old age. It's going to be from COVID-19.
Now, just real quick, just real quickly, if there's anybody on the outside who's trying to find ways that they could help or find ways that they could continue to stay connected. Queen Doug, Queen, would the Queen team mind giving some, issuing out some of their contact information? And then, Bro Son, will you also issue out some contact information at some point before the break?
Yeah, definitely.
Free
Alabama Movement, if you want to contact us on the inside, Free Alabama Movement is an inside organization. You can contact us at freealabamamovement@gmail.com. You can also catch us on Twitter at freealamovement. That's freealamovement. And you can also catch up with us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, Free Alabama Movement, and we also have a Facebook fan page. The group is in all capital letters, Free Alabama Movement, and the fan page is in all lowercase letters, and it's also Free Alabama Movement. So reach out to us any way you can, and we use the Fam Queen team. They handle all our phone calls. They also have email and other platforms to reach, and she's about to hand that out now.
Thank you. For those who would like to contact the Free Alabama Movement from the inside, as it relates to, you know, the inside, I should say, they can also reach the Fam Queen team. We can be reached at area code 334-245-0761, and I'll repeat that, and I'll just do it a little slower. 334-245-0761. Our email address is fam@famqueenteam.com, all lowercase, just like the Free Alabama Movement email address, all lowercase. If you don't mind me just kind of throwing this out there, too, I think I'm kind of concerned because I'm hearing that a lot of those on the inside are very, like, you know, uptight and have the anxiety. My question, and anybody can answer this, is the staff posting anything that gives the signs and symptoms for anybody to even recognize if they might possibly be coming up with the infection? Because one of the things, you know, is the lack of, you know, the lack of information that is that gets inside. One of the important things that I think it needs to be enforced too, that they post the signs and symptoms so that when someone is starting to feel some of these symptoms, they can speak up about how they're feeling. I know it's kind of, okay, you know, kind of hard to communicate, but I'm just kind of, you know, curious because I don't know. So I'm asking, is there any postings of the symptoms of the COVID-19 being displayed around so, you know, people will have an idea with their, you know, what they might be facing as far as the symptoms, because take, you know, they have to take in consideration too that you could be asymptomatic, and what's crazy is you could be asymptomatic and carry it, and still not you. I cannot be sick and be a carrier and pass it off to Queen Nikki, and then she ends up sick. So some of the, you know, a lot of people might not even realize that, because the governor here in Georgia claims that he didn't even know that, you know, a person asymptomatic would still be a carrier. So I'm just curious, is there any information being posted or displayed or any education being put out there about what COVID-19 is and what the symptoms are? And I'll yield.
Okay. I'll speak on St. Clair facility first. They got some signs up, very basic signs telling you about washing your hands, use soap, let them drip dry, and then dry your hands. Also, they just recently put up some signs giving a little bit of background detail information about COVID-19. But, I mean, that stuff, it's so in effect, you know what I'm saying, because you have to understand what the inside of a prison environment is like when you can understand. They post up signs, somebody walk by, they need a small piece of paper to write a phone number or something down on, they tearing that paper. You know, it don't last 5 minutes. And so there needs to be like an orientation similar to what they do with the rape prevention. They need to have something like that where they bring everyone in and orientate them and sit down and talk to them and explain to them, you know, what's actually going on, But they're not doing that. They're not trying. They just put some piece of paper on the board, say they did their job, did their part. At least that's what's going on at St. Clair. And so that's the only thing I can speak of. And I'll let the brothers speak about what's going on at their other institutions. Or plantation, should I say.
Hello? This is Motor City.
Yes, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, we're down here at State. They have a couple of signs posted in the dorm about washing your hands, basic stuff just like you're saying. But there's been several inmates with shortness of breath, coughing, fever, and when they go over to the healthcare unit, you know, they've been over to the healthcare unit about it, and healthcare nurses tell them that, you know, we can't test you unless you have a high fever of so many degrees and give them some ibuprofen or something for the cough and send them back. You know, this guy, sleep over me. He coughs all night, all day. There's two or three other guys in the dorms just coughing. The guy sleep next to me, he woke up yesterday morning and he couldn't breathe. And he stayed like that throughout the day and finally filled out a sick call slip. This morning, he woke up having the same problem, couldn't breathe, and it went away. And then a big red spot appeared in the left corner of his eye this afternoon. I said, man, what's wrong with your eye? And he was like, I don't know. I felt it. It's hurting, too. It's the same guy right there, shortness of breath. And he's still walking around here. You know, I really feel like, she said, it's a lot of asymptomatic guys walking around here amongst
Right.
passing this on. Some of these guys have the symptoms and don't have the fever. I see a news reporter lady that was quarantined talking on the news, you know, and she tested positive for the coronavirus, and she said she never did get a fever. She was sitting there, and she said, I feel fine. You know, I have shortness of breath, but I still don't have a fever. So, you know,
right.
some of the things that the nursing staff here have been, you know, cued on to look for you know, before they can test somebody, those things, you know, that's not, you know, going to be sufficient for this virus. You can have this virus and not have a fever and be continually
right.
spreading it on, you know, and it's just getting worse and worse, you know, inside you. So
I think what we're going to have to do, is organize some phone calls or what they call a phone zap to the Alabama Department of Public Health and the Center for Disease. So we're probably going to have to get something out there and get those numbers on there and get a
right.
script for people who call once we get information. But they can only call based on the information that they see from us on the inside. So guys are going to have to step it up as far as getting the information out. If we get the information
right.
out to the Queen team, they can create the call-in number. And every time we receive a report that someone is exhibiting symptoms, then we can have people to call the Department of Public Health, to call the CDC and let them know exactly what the healthcare professional is telling them. And also guys need to know when they go to get tested, they need to get the name of the nurse that they're speaking to so that when we make
right.
the call, we'll have the date, the time, and we'll have the name of the healthcare professional that they're dealing with so that we can present this information and start building a catalog of complaints against these people because they ain't going to really want to let us know what's going on with this stuff, man. We all know what's going on. So,
right.
I mean, let's
right.
not be naive about it. And let's go beyond them. We're going to have to go beyond them if we want to get something done.
Yeah, I just got word that they said that, you know, I don't know how true it is, but they said two officers at the North Alabama, the work release up there in Decatur, supposed to have coronavirus. And they turned the visitation yard into a quarantine room.
Okay. Well, let's get information online on our platform. We need to get that information up on our platform. We need to get what they said about Donovan up on our platform. And there's also a report that several people at Limestone are also, you know, having issues. So, you know, I'm encouraged, guys, again, man, if you're at an institution where there's a problem, there's no reason why you should not be putting that information on our platform so that we can get this information to the Queen team and we can strategize around what we can do to use that information. We're coming up on our last 5 minutes of the People's Platform, Fiat of Our Movement Blog Talk Radio Show. We're talking about things that we can do, actions we can take to try to save some lives inside the Alabama prison system. We didn't have as many callers that we would like tonight, but if you're listening, you want to press 1 and speak on an issue before we close out the show, please press 1 on the people's platform. So if we get any more callers before the last few minutes, we'll go ahead and take calls. But before we close out, we're going to let Brother Wise make some closing comments. We're going to turn it over to Brother Oak. Let him be ready to close us out. Then we'll turn it over to the Queen team. They'll give out some contact information once again. And we appreciate everyone for calling in to the People's Platform, Free Alabama Movement, Blog Talk Radio Show. Turn it over to you, Bro Wise.
All right, man. You know, we appreciate y'all coming in, you know, listening, for those who listening, you know, and also, man, you know, we got to apply any pressure that we can, you know, any help that y'all able to help, if you just donate some hand sanitizer, some gloves, some masks, you can get with the Queen team, and also even just applying pressure for that, calling down, you know, the governors and trying to get them, because in the last 3 weeks, as you can see, incidents that going and going on in the prison system, you know, we go a few months back, they were being very vocal about the things going on, but now as you can see, that they have not been putting no reports out of none of that about what's going on. So we have to put it out there, and we have to, you know, press them and apply to them to make them put it out. So, you know, we have to, you know, we're looking for any help and any hands on deck, and this is a call for all, even people that were formerly incarcerated, you know, even officers or even former officers, you know, anybody, you know, Muslim, Christian, wherever you are, whatever black or white, whatever nationality you is, we need all hands on deck for this, and we don't need to wait on when it happens. We need to, you know, prevent it, you know, and that's the best thing to do in our people.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Yes,
Brother O, you got the close coming.
I would like to say just thank you to everybody who was on here tonight, and to encourage people to continue in this struggle right here. Whether you're on the inside or whether you're on the outside, it's imperative that we be there.